problem getting the phone adjusted up here. We're going to be looking at choices, that scripture that was read. God says, I've set before you life and death. And so it's basically your choice. Not a lot of choices in elementary school when you're studying whatever your teacher's teaching, and you don't have any choice in that. But as you move up to junior high, and especially senior high, and in college, you start having to make choices about the courses you take. Depending on what you plan to major in when you get to college, there'll be required courses and elective courses. Some that you have to take, you don't have any choice. An elective, you can choose what course you want to take in those. And so this is going to be true in your life from that time on. You're going to have required courses and elective courses. And we want to look at what those are today. First of all, the required courses. Life. You got no choice. You didn't ask to be born. How many of you have told your parents that? I never asked to be born. So you don't have any choice in that. Nobody asked you if you wanted to be born or gave you any say in that at all. You had no choice in whether you were a boy or a girl. Now, today, of course, people are trying to say that you can choose now what you want to be, which obviously is very much contrary to the will of God. God made you what he intended for you to be. When? Whether you were born in 1884 or 1984. You had no choice as to when you were born. Where? You had no choice whether you were born in Africa, Afghanistan, America, or where. And I've heard people say, I'm so very thankful that I was born in America. And evidently, it's a pretty nice place to live. And if you don't believe that, just look around and see how many people are trying to get into this country from other countries. Or go to another country for a while, and then you'll appreciate what we have here. And so you didn't have any choice in where you were born. You didn't have any choice in whether you were planned or unplanned. That wasn't your choice to make. And sometimes it's not even the parents' choice. A lot of parents want to have children and can't, and have children they don't want children. So you had no choice in that. You had no choice in what your name was going to be or who your parents were. I don't know what was going on with Adrian at one period of time in his life. He asked his mother why he couldn't have had a different father. And she said, well, if you had had a different father, you wouldn't be you. We named him James Adrian, and we chose to call him Adrian. But he chose in the third or fourth grade to go by his first name, James, because the kids were kidding him about Adrian being a girl's name. And so he changed which name he was called by, but he didn't have any choice in what his name was going to be. How you were born, natural or unnatural, whether you planned, you had no say in the way, the planning of how you were born. Death is another required course. You can't choose not to die. A lot of people have tried. A lot of people don't want to die. And they have all the money to do anything they want to do, but they can't stop death. And a lot of people, even young ages, are dying. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's not their choice. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22 says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And so we all die. We must all walk through that valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 says. In Psalm 89:48, what man can live and not see death? Can deliver his life from the power of the grave? So we don't have any choice. We're going to die unless we're here at the coming of the Lord. And then we'll just be taken up directly to be with him if we're Christians. And so you can't choose not to die. You have no choice in death. It's going to come. Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Some of you may remember the story I told about the little boy who came running down the stairs and to his parents and said, "Is it true that God created man from the dust of the earth?" And mother said, "Yes, that's true." Ran back upstairs, and then came back down. Says, "Is it true that we're going to return to dust when we die?" And mother said, "Yes, that's true." Little boy said, "I don't know where they're coming or going, but somebody's under my bed." So we came from dust, and we're going to return to dust. And we don't have any choice in that. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We don't have any choice whether we're going to be in judgment either. So it's appointed a man once to die, and then the judgment. We can't say, "I don't think I want to go to that appointment. I'm going to skip that appointment." I've had appointments that I've just said, "I don't think I want to keep doctor's appointments or whatever." And I call them and say, "I'm not going to come for that appointment." But we can't get out of judgment. We can't skip that. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's not a choice in that. That's required for everyone. Revelation 20:12 says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." And so you don't have any choice. You're going to have to face God in judgment. And you don't have any choice about how he's going to judge you either. You know, a lot of people want to say, "Oh, all you got to do to be saved is believe in Jesus." But this says the dead are judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And so we're going to be judged by what we do, how we live our life here on this earth. And we're not going to have any choice about that. We can't say, "Well, God, my preacher told me all I had to do to be saved was believe." And God's going to say, "What did I tell you? What did my word tell you?" And that's what's important, is what does God's word say? The Macedonians searched the scriptures daily, or Berea rather, searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were taught is true. And we're required to do that also. So we have no choice in judgment. John 5, verses 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So we're all going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And we don't have any choice in that. That's a required thing for us. But there are some electives for us in life. Some things we can choose. Choose to be saved or lost, as that scripture that was read, "I set before you life and death, And so God still sets before us life and death. It's up to us. He's not going to force anyone to serve him. He's not going to force anyone to be baptized. He's not going to force anyone to attend the assemblies. That is your choice. You can obey God or not. Acts 2 and verse 40 says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So Peter pleaded with them to save themselves, but it was their choice. Paul said he could wish himself a curse from God if it would mean that his countrymen, the Jewish nation, Israel, would be saved, but he knew that wasn't possible. So it's up to each individual to make that choice. James 4, 8 through 10, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so we have a choice whether we're going to live according to God's will or our own will. Do what pleases us or what pleases God. Do what pleases our government or do what pleases God. Do what pleases anyone or do what pleases God. You can choose whether you're going to be saved or lost. No one is going to be lost who wanted and made that decision. They want to be saved, and they're willing to look at the scriptures and see what God has said that they need to do in order to be saved. But we must, as I mentioned, like those of Berea, search the scriptures to see if what we're being taught is true. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall in the pit. So we can't say, well, I followed this man, and he led me the wrong way. Then you're going to be in the same pit he's in. You have responsibility to make that choice. It's up to you. We make the choice whether we want to be spiritual or carnal, spiritual or fleshly. Romans 8, 13 through 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So we make that choice whether we're going to be led by the Spirit or by the flesh. Whether we're going to follow our own desires, fleshly desires, or whether we're going to follow God's desires for us. In Romans 6, 21 through 23, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things which you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we choose whether we want to be spiritual people or fleshly people, whether we follow the desires of the flesh or the desires of God. That's up to us. That's the choice that we have to make. Then we can choose whether we want to be scriptural or logical. A lot of people don't see logic in some of the things that God expects us to do. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So people say, it's not logical to think that something a man did by dying on a cross 2,000 years ago has anything to do with my salvation. That doesn't make any sense. And that's what the scripture is saying. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And so you can be scriptural or you can be logical and say, I just can't believe that. We've been looking at a lot in our studies that I have with Jesse and Mike on Mondays and Fridays at creation and that sort of thing. And it's amazing to me that people can't see that it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. In reality, creation is much more logical than evolution is. And yet, people want to make it look like, oh, you're just ignorant, unlearned people if you believe in the creation. But when you really look at the facts, it's very clear it had to be a creator. Because either something has always existed or nothing existed. If nothing existed, then nothing could ever exist. You can't have nothing from nothing. And you can't get something from nothing. If something always existed, that something had to be more powerful than everything that exists today. And that would be God, of course. 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so we can deny the existence of God, look around and look at this creation and think it just happened by chance, and yet we can't even produce that spark of life that started it all. With all our technology today, we can travel throughout the universe, but we can't figure out how that spark of life got into man. And yet, that's what evolution says. Living matter came from dead matter. And God's foolishness is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So you can choose to be scriptural or logical. You can choose to believe the scripture or believe whatever man is telling you about whatever the situation might be, creation or whatever. To be safe in God's will or in our own will. That's an elective. That's a choice that you can make. Luke 7:30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So they made the choice. They chose not to be baptized by John. And they chose to reject the will of God. There are many today that want to say, oh, baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. They reject the will of God. Even Jesus was baptized. When John said, well, you don't need to be baptized. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, let it be done that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Even though Jesus didn't have any sin to wash away, he said, we're going to have to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And I'm thankful he did, because I'm sure we'd have people all over the place saying, well, Jesus never was baptized. Why should I have to be baptized? And so they rejected the will of God, not accepting baptism. 1 Peter 4:1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but for the will of God. And so that's an elective for us. You can choose it or not. That's up to you, whether you're going to live according to the flesh, sinful lives, or whether you're going to live for the will of God. It's up to you. That's a choice you can make. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so that's a choice we make. Do the will of God and have that promise of eternal life in heaven, or reject the will of God and have eternal life in hell. It's up to us. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so that's our choice. That's up to us. It's an elective course for us. And we make that decision, which is going to be for us. You had no choice in your physical birth. but you can choose to be born again. In John 1, 12 through 13, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And so we have the right to choose that second birth or reject it. It's up to us. You can not choose not to die physically, but you can choose to live eternally. We're going to die physically, but we can live eternally. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And so we can live eternally, even though we die physically. We can live spiritually. You cannot choose to stay away from the judgment, but you can choose what will happen to you there. In Romans 2, 4 through 10, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so you can choose what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day. And you won't be able to say to God, wait a minute, God, because God is supreme. He's given us everything we need by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, if we'll accept that sacrifice. He's told us how to obey the gospel so that we can be saved, and repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as our Lord and Master, and being buried with him in baptism to wash away those sins. He's given us everything that we need. And so we can't say to him, well, God, you didn't give me what I needed to be saved. We have it. And so if we choose not to do those things, that's the choice we make. You need to be sure that you make the right choices in this life. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. So if you're going to make the right choices in life, now is the time. You don't want to wait, because tomorrow may be too late, as the song says. And so today is the day of salvation. Today is all we're guaranteed to have, and we may not even have the rest of it. We don't know when we're going to die. And so what your hands find to do, you need to do it right now while you can, because time's going to come when you can't do that any longer. The rich man in the story of Lazarus and the rich man is a good example of that. The rich man wanted to go back, wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers lest they come to this terrible place. He couldn't make that change himself, and he didn't want his brothers to be there where he was. And so we must make the decision of where we're going to spend eternity. The choice is ours, but some of those choices are required, and some of them we can choose. And so we need to decide which is going to be for us, heaven or hell. We make the choice, we make the decision, and then Judgment Day will tell us which way we're going. If you have any doubts about your salvation, then you need to clear those doubts up. Be glad to talk to you about that and what your doubts may be about your salvation. Questions you have, Be glad to talk about any of that to you. But don't take the chance with your soul. Make sure you're doing the will of God in your life, not your own will, not the will of someone else, but the will of God. If we can help you in that this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.